We'll now have our gospel reading from Matthew 13, 24 to 30 and 36 to 43.
Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man sowed good seed in his field. One night, when everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the plants grew and the heads of grain began to form, then the weeds showed up. The man's servants came to him and said, "Sir, it was good seed you sowed in your field. Where did the weeds come from?" "It was some enemy who did this," he answered. "Do you want us to go and pull up the weeds?" they asked him. "No," he answered, "because as you gather the weeds, you might pull up some of the wheat along with them. Let the wheat and the weeds both grow together until harvest. Then I will tell the harvest workers to pull up the weeds first, tie them in bundles and burn them, and then to gather in the wheat and put it in my barn." When Jesus had left the crowd and gone indoors, his disciples came to him and said, "Tell us what the parable about the weeds and the field means." Jesus answered, "The man who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is the people who belong to the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. And the enemy who sowed the weeds is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvest workers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered up and burned in the fire, so the same thing will happen at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels to gather up out of his kingdom all those who cause people to sin and all others who do evil things. And they will throw them into the fiery furnace, where they will cry and gnash their teeth. Then God's people will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Listen then, if you have ears." Thanks be to God.
The parable of the weeds. It's one of those parables that we've heard so many times. And when we hear it, just like many other texts in the Bible, as our main text, our reading gear switches off, and it becomes like watching repeats on television. But this particular parable, it's just as relevant today as it was over 2,000 years ago when Jesus first preached it. And it poses similar challenges to us too. So this farmer, as we heard in the text, sowed wheat in his field. But while he slept, enemies came and sowed weeds, so that when the wheat began to grow, so did the weeds. This posed a dilemma. What should he do? If he pulled out the weeds, he would certainly destroy the wheat. And it is said that in ancient Israel, sowing weeds into someone's garden was a way of getting even with your enemies. And the particular weed that we talked about in this parable looked just like the wheat. And you couldn't tell them apart till near harvest time. Its root apparently was intertwined with the roots of the wheat. And trying to uproot them will cause a lot of damage to the wheat. It became such a big problem in Israel at that time that the Roman government actually passed a decree against it. It was a crime if you were caught doing that. And I'm sure today, if you wanted to get even with someone, you probably won't go to their farm and plant something. You'll probably throw graffiti or write something like that. So Jesus used this farming scenario to speak to these people because they understood what it meant. And the first challenge that this parable poses for us is about judging others. And we're all familiar with this. People judge us, we judge them in our private lives. And it's also prevalent in churches all over as well. And sometimes we take it upon ourselves to play God, to decide who is in and who is out, who's worthy and who is not. And Jesus did recognize this tendency in his followers too, and he warned them in no uncertain terms. He said, "Do not judge, so that you may not be judged." And that's powerful stuff, very powerful. We know better than to stand in judgment of others. But yet, we do it anyway. There's something deep within us that wants to separate the wheat, the good ones, to one side, and the wheat to one side. Unconsciously, we set ourselves up as gatekeepers, selecting those whom we want to be part of our fellowship. And we politely, sometimes in very subtle ways, discourage others by not including them in our conversation, not including them in our invitations, probably often based on the way they look, or dress, or talk. So we practice selective evangelism here. And someone once described the picture of a church that I quite liked. He said, "The church is not what we see every Sunday when we come and sit here. It's not a neat, tidy, sober congregation seated side by side in a back-to-back pews facing forward. But he saw it as a milling crowd, pushing, shoving, loving, and laughing together. A Moses-type mob in the wilderness. Remember when the people came out of Egypt? One big mob in the wilderness on their way to the promised land. They were not all righteous, just as we are, but we're all sinners whom Jesus came to serve. The kingdom of God is a mixed bag in which it's not always easy to identify who is the wheat and who is the weed. Our inability to see into people's hearts prevents us from making accurate judgment about other people. Only God sees our true hearts instead of the face that we present to the world, and often give people the opportunity to turn their lives round as the weeding is left till the end. As such, tolerance goes hand in hand with being the follower of Christ, and we leave the task of judgment to the mysterious harvester at the end. Secondly, when it comes to human nature, none of us is ever completely good or evil, but a combination of both. Have you sat at a funeral lately and heard a glowing eulogy about this person? "He's the best person, the best boss, the best friend I've ever had." And at reception, somebody said he was a nasty piece of work. That's the same person they're talking about. Two sides of the same person. And scripture reminds us that we are born of the flesh and of the spirit. As such, there lies within each of us the capacity for evil and the potential for good. This tension coexists just like the wheat and the weed. But rather than worry about it, it's probably best to learn to live with those parts of ourselves that we don't like very much. Sometimes we can be at the best by accepting those things within us that are not all we would want it to be, and surround them with love rather than trying to root it out. We learn to live with the parts of ourselves that have brought us and others pain, parts which we can't destroy or forget, like our tongues, but somehow we accommodate and grow around them. And there's a story called Two Wolves. An old man told his grandson about a fight that was going on inside him. He said it was a fight between two wolves. One wolf is always angry, envious, greedy, arrogant, and always gossiping. And the second wolf is always joyful, loving, kind, generous, and compassionate. The grandson thought for a while and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf do you think will win?" And the old man kindly replied, "The one I feed." That is wisdom and growth. So in the parables, it's the slaves who notices the weeds and draw their master's attention to it. They are very keen and are diligent in their work. Where then did these weeds come from? They want an explanation and are prepared and ready to uproot the weed straight away, even if it means damaging the good weed. This is a question that I'm sure we've asked ourselves at some point or the other. Where then did the weeds in our lives come from? How did London get to this shape, with all the knife and the gang crimes? With all our young people being stabbed every day, how did London get to this stage? Maybe life circumstances have left off asking, how did our lives get to this? We could list the hurts, the betrayals, and so many other things. Perhaps we face the death of a loved one, a devastating illness, or other family tragedy, and we want to know, why, if God is a good and loving God, why is this happening? This isn't supposed to happen. We have done all the right things in life. It seems things are falling apart around us. Like the slaves, we ask, where did these weeds come from? We often live with the assumption that if we do good, work hard, and be nice, everything should work out as we want it to be. That's the illusion with which the slaves in today's parable lived. The weeds have shattered that illusion for them. This isn't supposed to happen. They want to know what happened, who is responsible. So do we. We want to hold someone accountable for what is going on in our lives. But the master is remarkably laid back. He said no. His attitude is to preserve the crop. An enemy has done this. That's it. He doesn't explain or identify the enemy. No instructions as to find who the enemy is and punish this enemy. He's pretty laid back. He just said, someone else, the mysterious harvester, will deal with it at the right time when the crops are harvested. It's someone else's job, not ours. So behind our desire for an explanation and to name the culprit is the truth that we neither like nor want to accept. It's one of the challenges of today's gospel. The way we think, the way we see, the way we act, and the way we live our lives. It's a challenge that arises every time we face the weeds of our life and of the world. The reality is that we live in a field where good and evil coexist. They live side by side. But what about these weeds? We want to know. Let them grow together until the harvest, the Master said. He's willing to be patient. He's willing to wait. So do we just do nothing and sit and wait? Of course, we have the tendency to act, to take action against something immediately. And sometimes it's very important and imperative that we do that. Sometimes there's a temptation to think that we can sort out every mess and pull up every weed around us. But sometimes we have to leave the sorting out, leave sorting out the world to someone else. We have to learn that our desire to pull up the weeds can become a weed itself. Righteousness can become self-righteous and even wrongly placed and time wickedness and cruelty. Sometimes we have to let it go and let it be and hope that when needed, someone else will be merciful to us. There's no place in Jesus' gospel for Christian vigilantism by word or by action against anyone or against ourselves. Instead, Jesus commands love. Love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy, and love yourself. That's the gospel challenge. And to finish off, in this strange system of divine agriculture, a field cluttered with wheat and weeds, are we not grateful that God waits a while and has instructed his servants to hold back from rooting out the weeds? I say this because if the truth be told, we would admit that at some points in our lives, we have been or wondered if we were the weeds ourselves. When what we did or failed to do was more of the evil one than of the Lord. And knowing that God allows the good and the bad to grow together till end times, are we not grateful that weeding is put off till a later date and not plucked up at those times? God is merciful and allows good and evil to coexist so that what is good might grow around it, and sometimes evil can be turned to good. One thing is for sure in this parable, just as the crop grows and is eventually harvested at a certain time, our world is moving towards a certain time of gathering and separation. In the midst of all these distractions, may the Holy Spirit help us to remain focused on the prize we're running for, eternity with our Lord Jesus. Amen.